Hey, it's the Pete here from thepete.com and website 666.com. You are listening to the webcast 666. Right now, let's see, this has been a very busy weekend. So once again, I am going to be treating you to the sounds of me doing chores. if this is the first episode you've listened to, there's only been two, so you haven't missed much. But basically, my name is The Pete. I am a number of things, most likely a malcontent. I am a person who watches the news, or used to watch the news, and used to get very frustrated with it. Now I don't get frustrated with it because I don't watch it. And hopefully you can hear me okay, because my iPhone, which I'm recording this on, is sitting in my pocket. But now it's on a shelf. Okay, so basically,
we're going to be talking about all sorts of things.
Talking into a bowl, sorry. So this week has been interesting. Probably the biggest story happens to be the lamest story. Balloon Boy. This is a good example of what I talked about in last week's webcast 666. Oh yeah, quick word on the name. Podcast 666 is apparently taken. A bunch of people have used it already. So this is webcast 666, the podcast from website 666. Somehow that just comes out really confusing sounding. Anyway, there you go. So last week I commented about how the news freaks out every time some pretty little white kid gets kidnapped or dies or falls down a well or whatever, but any other ethnicity basically gets ignored. This week, another good example of this occurred, and I barely even noticed. I barely paid attention. I was so proud of myself. Ooh, gotta move that one. Excuse me, sorry. So unprofessional. I barely even noticed. I saw three tweets about it. And that was the extent of my awareness of the story until riding home on the subway that night. I had a conversation with a couple people about Balloon Boy. And it fills me with a lot of pride, actually, that my tweet stream did not get overwhelmed with all the crap about this stupid kid, because it's as with, most stories on the news, on the mainstream news, who the hell cares? I mean, honestly, Balloon Boy, I mean, apparently if you understood physics, you would have known in 2 seconds the kid was not aboard that stupid balloon. To me, it's just if you've watched Mythbusters, it takes an awful lot of, helium to get a human being airborne. And, I don't know, I didn't see any of the pictures because I refused to read up about this, but my guess is it was pretty obvious. I did see one headline on Google News that said, if you know anything about physics, .. And that was kind of it. So it's just sounds like the media did another whiz-bang job on this whole thing, but I'm going to get to the media in a sec. I was just pleased because, all the guys I follow on Twitter, I mean, I'm sure more people talked about it than I noticed, but all the folks I follow, they really didn't talk about it that much, and I think that's great, and I that's one of the reasons I follow my group. I mean, granted, there's a lot of stuff that they talk about that I don't really care about, but most of them are really interesting folks, and so I'm really happy with my Twitter guys. Yay! Thank you, guys I follow on Twitter, for not giving into temptation and covering or tweeting about stupid stuff about balloon children and whatever. It's just who cares? I mean, okay, so even if the kid was in there, who cares? How does this change the world? It's just more of oops, bad parents. But it's obvious it's a hoax now, and it was kind of who cares even then, so whatever. I say just move the hell on. So that's what I'm doing. I will segue into media a little bit early, and stay on this story in theory, or in the abstract, simply because here comes the media again, doing stuff, covering stories that we don't really give a crap about. I think last week I mentioned something about the guy, the Twitter guy, yes, I did mention this, the guy who was arrested for Twittering about police locations and about how, and not even about police locations, literally, like, you know, GPS coordinates or something. He was basically just saying, hey, the G20 protest has been, you know, ruled to be over by the police, and so don't go or else you'll get arrested or whatever. And this dude got arrested for it. That's an important story. Democracy Now! Covered it. A handful of print journalists news sources have covered it, but not a whole lot of coverage elsewhere is really, you know, like on the news or whatever. As far as I know, I mean, based on the headlines, my scanning of the headlines, because, like, you know, you may know if you listened to last week's episode, I just do not really consume mainstream media anymore. It's way too frustrating. It's rock stupid. I mean, it's like, I mean, I know it's not all like what Jon Stewart on The Daily Show makes fun of, but even if it's a little bit like that, I just don't care. I mean, Bill O'Reilly saying Barack Obama doesn't, you know, deserve the Nobel. It's just like, yeah, and Arafat and Kissinger did? What the hell? Who cares? The Nobel has already been marginalized as far as I'm concerned. Let's just move the hell on. But no, they have to make a big deal out of it because they've got to sell commercials and hike up the ratings and all that, whatever. And it's just the same old crap from these people. I mean, it's just really frustrating. And meanwhile, we're all just sort of moving along on the internet, picking up our news and spreading it amongst ourselves, without the broadcast news and the cable news outlets. So I hope you and anyone else out there listening will join me in just moving on from cable and broadcast news organization, TV news, basically. Even PBS, I mean, okay, so they're definitely much better, and, you know, and NPR is much better than the mainstream, the quote-unquote mainstream, hardline, big, giant corporate media companies. They're better, but even still, it's just sort of like, let's put the focus where it needs to be on new media, on the internet, the new world. You know, let's focus on that, and let's just transfer over to that new world where news is much more democratized, and news sources are, or rather, yeah, news sources, reporters, journalists, so on, are much more interested in delivering the news rather than getting audience. Because, you know, if you're a good news person, the right people will follow you, and that's really what it should be about, just doing your job well. And that's the really frustrating thing, is that nobody really wants to go in that direction as far as, you know, just doing their job. I mean, granted, I know we Americans are known for general laziness, but why take the job if you're not interested in actually doing the job? I mean, there are loads of jobs for lazy people that you can get away with. I mean, corporate executive. I mean, hello. but if you're going to be a reporter, or hey, Alex, send this into politics, a politician, do your job. Gather real news. Don't think about how to sell it. Don't think about how to sell it to your constituents or your audience. Just speak the truth. Report the truth, speak the truth, whatever. Do your job well, and people will respect you for it. You won't lose your job, and if you do, you'll be able to find a job someplace else. You know? I do want to say one thing about PBS. I do respect Bill Moyers to a certain degree. Actually, to a huge degree, but he is biased, unfortunately. But in the opposite direction from the mainstream news, so I think he's a fairly safe news source. Some other, you know, PBS-style news sources are, you know, I mean, they're reliable. I mean, technically everybody's reliable. It's just a question of how much glitz and special effects and whooshy sounds go by while you're watching the news, you know, and how many, you know, super squirrels or, you know, I don't know, dogs that rescued a cat, or I don't know, stories that show up in the news that, you know, You want to avoid those. Anybody who thinks that that's news or random missing people are news, unless it's like a rash of missing people or that sort of, or something like that, it's just turn off the TV. Turn on the internet. Use your brain to find good news sources that you find reliable. And don't shut other people down if they say, oh, that guy's no good, you got to listen to this guy. But don't necessarily assume that everyone else is right and you're wrong either, obviously. Think for yourself. That's the key. And when you turn on the television news, you're not thinking for yourself. You're letting other people tell you what to think, because that's how they want it to be. They want you to pay attention and do what they say, so you watch and get exposed to commercials. So anyway, so that's my rant about the media. Next up, we have money. Money's a fun one. This week, I can't even remember what I was listening to, but talking something with some talk radio show, I think, about was a podcast, because I listened to everything on off of the internet. But it was talking about banks. I imagine it's probably Democracy Now. But they basically were talking about how, is it Chase is doing record profits, Bank of America is bombing, and Chase happens to be my bank, unfortunately. I was originally with WaMu, but WaMu got bought by Chase, and Chase is now one of four huge-ass banks that own everybody else, basically. I don't think there's a mom-and-pop bank. I don't know that there's a mom-and-pop bank out there. I'm sure there must be. There has to be. I know they're just here in Manhattan, there's Apple Bank, Big Apple Bank, maybe? I forget. I have to look into it, because I hate Chase. Chase is lame. I haven't personally had trouble with them, but my wife has had trouble with them. I think they still owe her $32 for an overdraft that shouldn't have happened in the first place. So, yeah, $32. Isn't that nice? And Obama asked them nicely to not wait for the law to take effect to stop gouging their customers. So, so if we don't get that $32 back, we will be finding some other bank. Even if it's another big-ass bank, we'll have to find it and go with it. So, but yeah. So anyway, so Chase. Oh, and then the other thing I heard about the money, which I thought was interesting. See, last week when I talked about loans and how supply and demand basically dictates that when you give a loan, you lower the value of all previously possessed dollars. So, like, you know, you do a job, you get a paycheck of $10. You put the $10 in a bank. The bank loans the $10 out to somebody else. That means there's actually $20 in the economy now. That's moving around. Granted, you're not doing anything with yours, but still, the value is spread out. It's stretched. It's inflated, say. You know, like a bit of inflation. And so there's your problem right there, just in the basic concept of loaning. It automatically drops the value of money because it ups the supply immediately. It's literally like conjuring money from the ether, from nothing. And so basically the problem with that is, well, it's obvious what the problem with that is. Everybody's dollar goes down. There's an added problem, though, because, okay, I guess the theory is the bank is supposed to keep some of your money in. But check it out. As long as they keep, for every dollar they have in the bank of yours, they can loan out 10 of yours. So I don't see how that's going to solve the problem here. You're still, what is it, 90% hiking or dropping of the value of the dollar by adding 90% more dollars. Is that right? Am I just totally an idiot? I could easily be, seeing as I was a film school major. I went to film school. I majored in film, and I minored in drama. Before that, I was a comic book geek and a tech geek. And so I could be totally talking out of my ass. I really don't know about money in it from a training sense. I just know what I've read. And so to me, the concept of inflation would seem to suggest that any loans would be inflationary and therefore bad for the value of the dollar. And looking at the way our dollar has lost value consistently since 1913, right around when the Federal Reserve was created, it sort of strikes me as, you know, there's something wrong with the system built in. Like, there's something built into the system that's wrong. but nobody ever talks about it. So, whatever. That's why I'm talking about it here on the old webcast 666, you know, doing the devil's work, contrary to the mainstream. But we're into minute 15, so I want to move on to war. This is kind of scary stuff, just simply because we don't really think much about war these days, because we're supposed to think we've won in Iraq. We haven't. There's still violence there. And we're supposed to think we're going to win in Afghanistan, which we can't possibly, because let's just do the math. No one's ever conquered Afghanistan, ever. Even the Taliban won't get it all. So it's just scary. And then Obama gets the Nobel Prize for what he's going to do, obviously. Let's hope. It's just nothing really good to talk about. You know, there's like, Pakistan. That was the other big thing that happened today. There's like a big bombing in Pakistan. Bunch of people died. We just need to stop that. We just need to pull our troops out of other countries altogether. And I don't understand why we have to be the cool kid on the block. Why we have to be the peacemaker. Why America has to get involved in everything. I'm not saying go isolationist. I'm just saying, why do we have to be in charge? You know, why can't we let other countries be the adult and just pull our guys back and stop? I mean, we've been the Earth's police force since World War II. Can we just chill out on that now? I mean, and frankly, we haven't done a great job. So, I mean, I just think we should pull back and just be mature adults and look at the world reasonably. I don't know. Does that seem like too much to ask? Please let me know what you think. Either comment, tweet at me. Comment on my on website 666 for this post, or find me on Twitter or Facebook. I'm all over the place. The Pete. Just look for me. The Pete. The only place I'm not the Pete is like YouTube and Yahoo stuff. I am the Pete com on Yahoo and YouTube, which is funny because I'm the Pete on Google, so... But anyway, let's see. So we're coming up on minute 18 here. About to move on to religion. I'm trying to think if there's anything war-related that I need to talk about. I don't think so. I'm sure there is, but I'm blanking right now. I'm almost done with the dishes, too. Got to find some other chores to do. But, great. And phone flaked again. There we go. My hands are all wet, and I'm touching my electronic phone. Dabbing the water off of it. Anyway, okay, sorry. Okay, now it is 18. Religion. This is always a tough one, because I feel like it's people take this so for granted and take it so seriously that it's real easy to piss people off. There's a guy who I'm friendly with. A very cool young guy, has a Mexican American upbringing, obviously. I'm guessing he was raised Catholic and all this. And I had posted something on the website 666.com a while back, and it was basically saying, you know, why we, you know, if you believe in Santa Claus, or if you don't believe in Santa Claus, why do you believe in God? Just because the same social structures dictate both, you know. So it's like, you know, we tell our kids to behave or else Santa will punish them with coal, or and if they do well, that he'll reward them with presents and stuff. And, you know, it's kind of the same thing with heaven, isn't it? I mean, whether you're an atheist or not, you can admit that that is the function that religion provides or performs. You want to behave and do well in life and be a good person so you can get into heaven. You know, I mean, there's that old song, Be Good for Goodness Sake. That's not the name of it. I forget what it is, what the song is, but I remember the lyric. But no one really is told to do that. Nobody talks about just doing good for the sake of goodness being done. It's always about, you know, heaven, God, that sort of thing. It's very frustrating because
I just don't know why God has to be involved with doing good things. Yes, I know good comes from, the word good comes from God. Yeah, I get that. But that's not my fault, okay? I don't see why it has to, the two have to be linked inexorably. But as to my friend, he sort of took issue with my interpretation of things, and I don't quite understand or don't know how to deal with it, aside from saying, on an abstract sense, you know, you have to be able to look at the function of things beyond the propaganda or the PR, you know. So in a sense of religion, sure, religion says, you know, oh, we're here to, you know, make life easier for you, to give you support, to try to help you understand what God's plan is, all that stuff. But Coke, Diet Coke, really doesn't make you skinny. And Jenny Craig won't save your life either. Proper diet and healthy activity does. But you know what I mean? So it's like there's the propaganda and then there's the reality. And like Jenny Craig, might make you skinny, aka religion might make you feel better, but ultimately there's a function there. Jenny Craig simplifies your life and makes you think that you can lose weight when sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. They even say on their commercials, if you look at the fine print, results not typical. So, you know what I'm saying? And with religion, it's the same kind of thing. And so there you go. So that's religion this week. I just wish I could feel a little more comfortable talking about it myself, but that's why I have Webcast 666. So I will talk more about it next week for sure. And I think next up we've got freedom, which is like liberty, which is like, you know, doing kind of what you want. And I always complain. I always feel like the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is kind of a myth that is more PR, you know, just like God saving you and that sort of thing. You know, but on the other side, because I can be the devil to myself, I feel like conflicting, you know, I mean, there's got to be some system, some way for us to function, you know, so as a society. I don't think it needs to be as big. I don't think we need to be a global society. I don't think we need to have everyone be a part of the same body, because there's just too much conflict. Too many people will find a reason to war. So I think we do need, you know, pockets. I think we do need nations to a certain degree. In fact, I'd even say we need smaller than nations. We need something like states, just states, you know, for American people listening, states as in like something the size of New York or Nebraska, or, you know, something small, nothing nationwide. Nation is too big and too powerful. So you end up with a concentrated, you know, body of power, you know, and so people in Hawaii are affected by choices made by people in Washington, D.C. I mean, that's an absurd distance away. That's like thousands of miles away. And I live in New York, and I feel like my own politicians who live down the street from me, essentially. I mean, I live off of Broadway, so that's a big street. But I feel like they are out of touch with my needs and what I really want. I feel like they live in some fantasy land where they get to wear suits every day to work and ride in limousines. And I think that's ridiculous, and I think that's not really logical and fair to treat our leaders that way. Our leaders should be treated like each other. They shouldn't get exorbitant salaries. And leaders shouldn't be treated like, not each other, like us. They should be treated like us, regular civilians. No exorbitant pay, salaries, that sort of thing. But so what I'm getting at is I kind of believe in decentralized government. I would like to see smaller, less powerful governments across this country. I would love to answer to Patterson, Governor Patterson of New York, or whomever is the next governor. I would love to see that be the main thing. States working together, having a few loose you know, guidelines, but generally, you know, and then a light government over top. I'm not a libertarian. I don't want to necessarily ban the Board of Ed or anything like that. Like, I like, or the Department of Education, what is it? Yeah, something like that. I like a general light government that gets its fingers into every, not everything, but corners of our lives, the most important things to ensure that basic needs are met. So health, education, law. So we get laws, we get education, and we get health. Those are the three things that are most important, you know, and defense, I guess. I mean, if we had any real threats left, I'd say defense, but we don't really have any real threats anymore. So I don't really feel like defense is something that the government needs to worry as much as it's worrying about now. Certainly not our government anyway. And other countries seem to be getting along just fine without, you know, the same ratio of military spending. So I don't quite get why we need as big a government as we have. But again, I'm not a libertarian. I really kind of don't like those guys. I've met a bunch of them, and most of them are kind of jerky. I've also met a few that are kind of cool, so I don't want to broad stroke them, but I do feel like there's a balance that they're not quite ready to go for. You know, Ron Paul likes to talk about, you know, dissolving the Department of Education, and I just think that that's wrong. We need a baseline. We need a baseline education level that is free. We cannot expect everybody to pay for freaking everything, and healthcare goes included with that. So, healthcare and education. So, anyway, okay. That's enough of that babbling. I do want to talk about Webcast 666 real quick itself. I have a big long conversation recorded that I had with a buddy of mine back in February. He's a very cool guy. And I want to use excerpts of it in future episodes of Webcast 666. So I will be doing that in the future. I also hope to talk to other atheists and alternative thinkers and, yeah, just that sort of thing. To spice this podcast up a bit, I don't want it to just be my silly old voice for 30 minutes every week. But I am dedicated to doing this for 30 minutes and not having this turn into some giant multiple hour discussion nightmare thing where you never download it because it's just too damn long. So that's the hope anyway. I know I can get access to the interview. I just need to find it because I recorded it in February, and I actually meant to do this podcast back in February. It's the way life is. Too many things. In fact, I'm putting off stuff just to record this now. So I hope you're happy. No, I'm being silly. It's stupid. I'm very happy to do this. And if you're listening, please let me know you're listening and leave your comments and your thoughts. I'd love to hear from you. And along those lines, I'd like to say thanks to Jeff Jones, who commented about this on Facebook. Thank you very much, dude. Really appreciate you listening and being a buddy and all that stuff. He's a guy I know who's, in Japan. I'm so envious. he's the brother of a good friend of mine here in New York. So we met through her. And there you go. So, Jeff, thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Feel free to pass this around to your fellow friends over there, your tomodachi over there in Nippon. So, but anyway, yeah. So, let's see. What else is there to talk about? Not much. I think I'm just going to start to wrap this up. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Pete from website666.com. Thanks for listening. Please, like I said, comments. Find me on Twitter. Find me on Facebook. Oh, you can follow Website666 on Twitter, by the way. Twitter.com/Website666. Pretty clever, huh? So anyway, yeah. Thanks. And one last thing. Please tell your friends. Anybody who you think might be into this, I would love for you to pass me on to them. Because I'd love to have more opinions and more guests and stuff. So, cool. All right. Thank you very much for listening. This has been the Pete for Webcast 666 at website666.com. Thanks. Bye.